from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
Well, good idea, and welcome to the rewrap for Monday. All the best bits of the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, more sugar tax concerns. It's never ever going to work, apparently. How to solve the Queenstown housing situation, opening MPs' diaries, and NCEA. How do we fix it? But before any of that, why are there so many cycle wires and who really wants them?
I read in the Herald this morning a very good piece by Bernard Orsman. You need to get your head around growing revolt against cycleways in Auckland. This would apply, it's not just Auckland, it's right around the country. Wellington's got dreadful troubles with the cycleways in places like Island Bay. Christchurch, don't even get me started about the problems of cycleways in Christchurch. Our small businesses across Auckland on the warpath against plans to push out cars for cycleways and buses in local shopping centres. Karanga Happy Business Association withdrawn support for a $16 million cycleway. And that's the other thing. These things aren't cheap. A $16 million cycleway for something that no one will use. Mount Eden Village Business Association, they've gone ballistic over plans to extend bus stops in the village. Mount Albert, Karanga Happy Road, Mount Eden, Dominion Road, Northcote Point, it goes on and on and on. People don't like these things. They don't like them because they don't work. And they prevent people from going to the shops that are the businesses that pay the tax and employ people and provide services. None of that seems to be important to the ideologues at the council who didn't think of any of this when they were busy blue-skying and whiteboarding this. It is almost, here's the quote of the day from Philippa Stevenson, who runs the Tart Vegan Bakery, no less. She says it's almost as if they've gone insane with this idea of cycleways and forgotten it's thousands of little businesses like this who pay rent, pay tax, pay rates. Could not agree more. And what's exciting about this story, and people like me who bang on about this, is do you know what? I think we're starting to win. I think the tide is turning and these clowns are slowly but surely being exposed for what they are.
Aren't these people... supposedly, we live in some kind of democratic society where you vote for people who represent the things that you want and do the things that you ask them to do. And
Glenn,
have I got that wrong?
Settle on down with your logic.
Are we a victim of Big Cycle? Is there a Big Cycle lobby out there that
But I think by the time I'm finished with this program, not today, but in my tenure here at ZB, we're going to see the destruction and the demise and the history. They'll put one into Papa. And they'll say the cycleways of the early 2000s, no one used them.
It'd be cool to cycle around Te Papa, though. So, I think it's another movement we're starting. We're getting rid of the DHBs, getting rid of cycleways. Maybe the DHBs can ride off on cycles and we'll never see either of them again. I think we should have protests where people should just mount the cycleways with their vehicles, much the way Shane Ardern drove up the steps of Parliament in his tractor that time. And I think the idea of sugar taxes is on its way out if Mike has anything to do with it as well.
The New Zealand Initiative, who we have on the program on an increasingly regular basis, in fact, they've got some new data for us today. They might have done some of their best work yet. Ironically, they do perhaps what the media should be doing more of. So if you missed our interview on Friday, under the Official Information Act, they've got hold of papers that show the Ministry of Health has been A, doing work on the sugar tax and its effectiveness, and B, looking at other work that's already been done. This is the advice that eventually goes to the Minister. And why this is important is the sugar tax debate, as most of us have suspected, has been hijacked by the zealots. The research done is shonky and loaded. The research carried out by the Ministry, who we can still presumably trust to be unbiased, is highly sceptical as to whether any tax would ever work. This hopefully, once and for all, can put the subject to bed. It won't, of course, but at least next time the academics and the cloistered fanatics spring forth with another burst of tax PR, we've got the paperwork that shows they're making it all up. I would like to suggest we can probably come to the same conclusion around the myth of public transport being the answer to congestion. The trains are on strike at the moment. If you've noticed, the buses, they're threatening to go on strike. And even when they're not, they don't supply, have never supplied, and will most likely never ever supply the sort of service that we actually want. I mean, if petrol goes to $3 a litre, it'll change. But until then, we love our cars. We have more cars per head of population than most places on the planet, and that's not changing. It's an ideological battle, the same way the sugar taxes. Obesity and diabetes is solved through diet and exercise. It's an indisputable truth, but very few do it. So they look for a new angle. Doesn't matter that the angle doesn't work. It keeps them busy and in grant money peddling an idea. The same way the public transport lobby preached the myth that bike lanes and bus lanes and less bitumen for cars is the answer to getting to work. What's gone wrong in all of these debates is the honesty, or lack of it. Nothing wrong with new ideas, different approaches, nothing even wrong in the passionate preaching their particular form of wisdom. But it has to be fact-based and honest. And too often these days, and the New Zealand Initiative work on the sugar tax shows it, if you can't win on fact, you start to gild the lily, twist the stats, bend the truth. And if you're not busted, we then run the risk of implementing these things that cost a fortune for no return. All because a small clique got obsessed and lost sight of reality and the truth.
Because nobody has a firm grip on reality like Mike Hosking, that's what I always say. That's why he's so on board with Richie's and their Queenstown housing solution.
Very, very good idea from Richie's the bus people. So here's your employment issue in Queenstown. What's the employment problem in Queenstown? No one can afford a house. Can't get a rental, there are no rentals, can't afford a house. So what have Richie's the bus operators done to get people to drive their buses in Queenstown?
Living in a bus?
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Actually, now you say that's not a bad idea, but no, they bought houses. They bought houses for the people. So if you want to work for Richie's in Queenstown, your housing issue is already covered because Richie's have bought the house. And the good thing about Richie's owning a house, of course, is the value will go up and they'll make some money of it. And why don't people... There's answers to every problem. It's only a problem if you haven't drummed up a solution. So well done to Richie's on that one.
Can you imagine flatting with a whole lot of bus drivers? Right, even just... deciding who gets to park where in the car park, that's going to be an issue because they all think that they'll have the right of way and that they can park wherever they want and people should just get it. That's going to be a nightmare. Now, the Green Party is opening their diaries. I think that's what's happening, so we can make sure that everything they're doing is what they're supposed to be doing. It's all part of the job.
As altruistic as it might seem, it is, of course, done in a country that's the least corrupt in the world. So they'll open the books and we will see nothing. I mean, if this was in Italy, it'd be worth votes and points, not unlike the five-star movement they're voting on today at this very moment. The five-star movement in Italy will most likely get the biggest collection of votes, but because they refuse to go into any coalition, because they believe everyone else is dodgy, they look set for opposition forever. But the broad concept they operate under has made them popular. So it's a movement that appeals. So maybe the Greens are onto something here. And here's the part that may help. The fact is we don't know who is in the politicians' ears. We don't know who they talk to, what they promise. We don't know that when the trips are paid for, the hotel bills are covered, the meals being gratis, what that entails. Probably nothing. Most likely nothing. But if you want an example of a system that's rotted, look at America. Look at the American lobby industry. It is billions of dollars worth of business. The most glaring example currently is the gun money. Marco Rubio gets millions from the gun brigade. Do you think that's given with no expectation? Money here, of course, is lodged publicly in most circumstances, but there is a world of corporate hospitality out there, an industry and pressing the flesh and twisting the arm. None of it, I suspect, is truly dodgy, but the Greens do themselves no harm in making it all public. After all, if there's nothing to hide, what's the problem? And by taking the stand, they now put the pressure on the others to follow suit. Do you think they will? No, I don't either. So, score one for the Greens.
You see, just when you think that Mike Hosking is some Tory National Party lackey, he keeps saying nice things about Julianne Genta and giving them a point up in whatever scoreboard that was that he just gave them a point up on. It's very confusing. Don't know what to believe. Maybe I should have taken stats in NCEA.
What I thought the unionist said that was really interesting, Jack Boyle, and I don't know how you get around it, is when he talked about kids making choices. Now, unless you have a school dictating to the kid what they can and can't choose, or you've got the parent heavily involved, what do you do about a kid who's going down a track where you're looking at it and going, mate, you're going nowhere fast? That's of no use to anybody because you know what kids are like. You can't tell them a thing. And so they take all these...
Take us, for example.
Well, precisely. Jeez.
I mean, just think back to the old days, the olden days, when you and I were... What were we doing, really, at school, really?
Well, I was playing basketball and tennis, to be honest, and looking forward to getting to be 16 years old and getting the hell out of there.
I was writing the school show.
There you go.
I was in the jazz band and the choir and the rock band.
But see, a couple of reprobates like us. I mean, really, if you've got a couple of 16-year-olds these days heading down the same path as us, they're going nowhere. They're not going to end up doing what we do. I mean, you've got to go to AUT and get a 9-year course and 16 diplomas to do anything like this in the industry these days. The days of just rocking up with a big gob on you and go and give us a job, well and truly gone.
Do you reckon? Seven?
Oh, well, as far as I understand it. Anyway, listen, so the point of it is this.
Don't you reckon we should be teaching them big gobbin?
The point of it is this.
We could be lecturers.
Unless you tell kids what to take, I don't know how you get around that problem. They need to pull back on the number of subjects in a spectacular way, and they need to somehow bridge that gap between the internals and the external exams that some kids really have difficulty with, and have a pass-fail system in which you know that you've actually achieved something as opposed to just merely turning up.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? It's good. I mean, it's good to pass in a pass-fail system. Very bad to fail. That doesn't feel so good, and I guess that's what they were trying to avoid. But obviously, in order for people to pass, you really do have to have some people who fail. It's a shame we couldn't just make those people up. Or use failures from other countries to help with our statistics. There must be a way around that somewhere. Anyway, like I say, I got thrown out of seven form statistics, so I never really got to figure out how to do any of that stuff. I am Glenn ZB, not really qualified at anything, but thanks for listening anyway. This was The Rewrap. We'll see you back here again for more of this ignorant bullshit. Bye.